This is AgriPulse Daybreak for Tuesday, April 14th, brought to you by Edge Dairy Farmer Cooperative. Good morning, I'm Jeff Daly. Here's today's headlines. Yields likely won't suffer due to fertilizer pullback. Score on E15 and RFS legislation and tariff refunds. Former chief economist, fertilizer pullback may not significantly impact yield. Former USDA chief economist Joe Glauber says growers may be able to pull back on fertilizer use without significantly harming crop yield. Amid high fertilizer prices, some growers are expecting to cut back on fertilizer to reduce cost. During the panel discussion at the North American Agriculture Journalists annual meeting yesterday, Glauber noted that farmers may have some room for further reductions without taking a hit on production. People will be far more careful with higher prices, Glauber said, but added he doesn't see a big swing in production. It's not an uncommon practice for some farms actually to overapply. Some growers use the extra fertilizer as an insurance policy to protect against heavy rains, he added. The markets are also reflecting strong yields, he noted, pointing out that futures markets have seen big price movements. But he did offer a caveat that it is early in the crop year and a lot can still change. I'm not saying, yeah, don't worry about it. They're still going to be affected by this cost squeeze, but I do think in terms of overall production impacts, I don't foresee a big increase, he said. Growth Energy CEO Emily Score expects E15 legislation to be paired with proposed changes to the renewable fuel standard. What they're really focusing on is that coupling of year-round E15 and RFS reform. That's the conversation that's taking place right now, Score said yesterday at the annual meeting of the North American Agriculture Journalists. It's a difficult conversation. I think they're making slow progress. Prior to the recent two-week congressional break, speculation swirled on Capitol Hill that lawmakers may try to move a bill to allow year-round sales of higher ethanol blends known as E15 without including any overhaul of the RFS. The inclusion of a provision to revamp RFS exemptions derailed a House bill in January due to division among oil refiners. Score, whose group represents ethanol companies, is the largest biofuel trade organization. Pairing E15 with RFS reform is likely the path forward. Doing so should bring more lawmakers and refining interests to the table, she said. In some respects, it makes the degree of difficulty higher than a clean E15 bill, but I also like to think that it makes the stakeholders a little more motivated to work with Congress to get something through, she said. Following his three-part reporting series earlier this year, AgriPulse Oliver Ward is out with a video report highlighting the infrastructure challenges soybean producers and the agriculture heartland of Mato Grosso face and their effort to address issues. We'll have more AgriPulse Daybreak after this.
America's dairy farmers are committed to feeding the nation, but their ability to do so depends on sound, science-based policies. That's why they rely on Edge Dairy Farmer Cooperative, the number two milk cooperative in the country and a leading voice for progressive, farmer-driven leadership in Washington, D.C. Edge represents dairy farmers and their families across the country, the backbone of rural communities and a vital part of our food security. From environmental regulation and workforce development to trade and sustainability, Edge ensures farmer perspectives are heard and that decisions in D.C. are grounded on facts, not politics. Edge Dairy Farmer Cooperative, advancing policies that strengthen America's farms, safeguard our environment, and sustain the next generation of dairy leaders.
Welcome back to AgriPulse Daybreak. Company executives are not planning to pass along tariff refunds to consumers. in the form of lower prices. That's according to new polling. A survey of 25 chief financial officers by CNBC found that none of the companies are planning to pass the savings along to consumers. Seven said they weren't sure. Judge Richard Eaton, the Court of International Trade judge who is presiding over the tariff refund cases, has picked a new lead case after the plaintiff in the previous case filed for dismissal. Earlier this month, he lifted the stay on a case filed by Euronotions Florida, Inc. and issued a new order for refunds matching the one from the previous case. Eaton maintained on April 14th deadline for the administration to provide another update on how refund efforts are progressing in an effort to keep the process on track, but the government now has longer to appeal the refund order because the new order was issued April 7th. John Newton, Vice President of Public Policy and Economic Analysis for the American Farm Bureau Federation, said he sees new economic assistance for farmers as likely. "I don't think if it's an if, I think it's a when," Newton said of the prospects of additional ad hoc assistance for farmers at the North American Ag Journalists annual meeting yesterday. He said another supplemental package that includes economic relief for farmers is definitely something that I think the Hill and One White House both have their eyes on. Newton said he wasn't quite sure how large the aid package would be, but he cited news reports suggesting somewhere between $15 and $17 billion. He said the American Farm Bureau Federation staff would be visiting with the White House about that sometime this week. Meatpacking giant JBS USA has reached a tentative collective bargaining agreement with a union representing workers in its Greeley plant, ending a period of tense negotiations that had resulted in a 3-week strike. The agreement with the United Food and Commercial Workers Union Local 7 runs through April 2028 and would offer a 70-cent base wage increase at ratification. Workers would see base wages increase 40 cents in July and another 40 cents next July, according to a JBS press release. It also offers a $750 one-time payment bonus at ratification and another $500 one-time payment next April. This tentative agreement is a testament to the incredible resolve of our members at the JBS Greeley plant, UCFW Local 7 President Kim Cordova sent in a release. "These workers stood together on the picket line for 3 weeks through extreme weather because they knew their worth and refused to be disrespected." Grocers say they're under growing pressure as new SNAP waiver policies roll out nationwide, warning that strict enforcement could push some stores out of the program. New limits took effect in April in Colorado, Florida, Texas, and West Virginia. In all, 22 states now have or are considered restrictions on non-nutritious items such as soda and candy. The National Grocers Association says a patchwork is emerging in which states define what's ineligible while USDA interprets those rules. The grocer is being evaluated on USDA's interpretation of the state definition. NGA President Stephanie Johnson told the North American Agriculture Journalists yesterday. At issue is USDA's two-strike system outlined in this December 30 guidance. A failed test transaction triggers a warning and 30 days to fix the issue. A second violation during the follow-up audit means disqualification. Johnson said there's no plan for consistent evaluation across states. Gerald Mandy, CEO of Nourish Science, said confusion was being compounded by the loss of SNAP-Ed funding and experienced federal staff. NGA is urging USDA to allow more flexibility, saying grocers are being asked to manage, quote, hundreds of thousands of newly ineligible items. Johnson warned the bigger risk may be declining SNAP participation due to program cuts under the One Big Beautiful Bill Act, a shift that could push some stores below profitability. We're probably going to lose a few stores before we get some flexibility, she said. Scholar Souder has rejoined the Senate Ag Committee as policy director. She's been with Farm Credit Council as vice president of government affairs since 2021 and earlier oversaw commodity programs, crop insurance, and disaster assistance issues for the committee. In addition, Corey Brown Weber has been promoted to deputy staff director. She joined the committee in August 2025 as chief counsel and earlier was a legislative director for Senator Tom Tillis of North Carolina. Here's today's final word. It's worth it because we are at last in life expectancy of any other wealthy country, and it's just how sick our children are. A third of our children in the U.S. have a food-caused chronic disease. That's Gerald Mandy, CEO of Nourish Science, discussing state SNAP waivers that restrict certain food items. He said SNAP remains the federal government's biggest lever to incentivizing healthier eating. Well, that's Daybreak for this Tuesday, April 14th, brought to you by Edge Dairy Farmer Cooperative. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak, I'm Jeff Daly.